you're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio. What's going on? It's your favorite twins, Ariam.
And Yodit.
And you're tuned in to Disoul Radio, powered by Full Service Radio. And we're broadcasting live from the Lion Hotel in Washington, D.C.
That's right. This Wednesday and every Wednesday, your girls here talk all things music, yep, culture, and everything under the sun. Sometimes it's just us two in the studio, and then we can be blessed with some guests. And today is also one of those days.
Yes.
Today we've got Sophia Mame Thompson of SMTPR in the building.
Hey, ladies. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to Disoul Radio.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
I am very happy to be here.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
It's good?
Yeah. Today's Independence Day for my native country, Ghana. So
I know. Shout out to that.
Yes.
Oh, wait. This is a powerful month. It's Women's History Month. Ghana's Independence Day is today.
400 years.
Yes. Right. Yes. You celebrate that for sure.
I am going in with that.
Do you have any plans?
Yeah. Honestly, just plans to possibly just read up on maybe some past leaders I don't know about. And then, of course, this weekend turning up. So,
of course. Got to celebrate,
yeah,
right?
Got to celebrate.
Yay. Educate and then have some fun.
Exactly.
It's a good game plan for sure.
I'm excited.
Yes. We're so happy to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So you're actually one of our first guests to come on to our show that is really involved in the world of PR. So we're actually excited to talk to you a little bit about that and learn more about.
This is definitely a avenue Yodit and I are not very familiar with. Yeah. So
sure.
Your job in the next 30 is to educate us.
I'm just kidding. No pressure.
I got you.
No pressure. But first, we got to do what we love best, most, or love to do. How do I frame that, Ariam? What we love to talk the most about, is music and culture, right?
Awesome, yes.
So that's what I was really trying to say.
Yeah, we got to squeeze that into this episode, of course.
Right, and we're going to talk to you about that, too. So we're still recovering from Solange's release of When I Get Home.
In the most positive and positive sense, but...
we've gotten our edges together.
Yeah, they back
after being snatched gracefully. But yeah, we're still recovering. And Ariam and myself love the project. It's very Solange.
Yes.
And what we've noticed, at least in social media, through the lens of social media, is that there's been, an overwhelming amount of support for the project. Mm-hmm. Everyone is here for it and standing for it. But there is, that response that we've also seen where people are also quite confused about the project. Mm-hmm. They don't really understand it. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the project? I know you listen to Solange as well. What do you think about that?
Yes, I'm a big Solange fan. So I actually was on Twitter recently and a friend of mine asked me, what do you think about the album? Because he knows I'm a big fan of Solange. And I told him that this was on Saturday when it had just come out the day before. I told him I personally felt like I was too biased in that moment to tell him because I was too excited. Uh-huh. And so I needed time to really just be with the album and process it and things like that. And I think that what's happening is, so I call Solange a cultural anthropologist, right? Mm-hmm. For Black culture.
Okay.
And so, because she really is. I feel like a seat at the table was a universal Black sound.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Whereas I feel like her newest work, Welcome Home, or
When I Come Home, excuse me.
I feel like that was definitely an ode to Houston and then also wanting Black people to see themselves within her ode to Houston.
Right.
I personally don't think that the mission she had when she did A Seat at the Table is the same mission she's had now.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of throwing people off. They don't really know what to expect. And I think it's one of those things, too, where people that are from her area, understand that, certain song titles were named after highways in Houston and certain concepts and certain beauty shops. And so I think that it's one of those things where if you want to kind of engross yourself in Solange's upbringing and the root of how she could even create A Seat at the Table, then you'll love it. But if you kind of were looking for that universal Black sound that feels like what you always known,
right,
it's going to be difficult.
Yeah. I feel like she did a really good job of luring her, everyone, right?
Exactly.
Making it very inclusive in a seat at the table, right? But mm-hmm. I feel like this was like that opportunity to be like, okay, everyone's here. Let me show you what I can offer you about my culture,
exactly,
or my background, my story, you know? And I feel like it was really smartly, you know, smart, but really well done.
Exactly.
You know, I feel like it may be hard for some people because some people have, well, certain super fans have like specific expectations for people. It kind of reminds me of the whole Frank Ocean Channel Orange to mm-hmm. Blonde comparison. Everyone expected a Channel Orange too.
Exactly.
But Blonde was very different.
Yeah.
Yes. And so
I agree.
You have certain fans that will be disappointed and mm-hmm. others that will want to get it.
Yeah. Right.
So I personally felt like I connected to the music more when I saw the visuals, when I saw the film.
All encompassing. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sure.
That helped me to connect more.
Yeah.
Whereas The Seat at the Table, I actually was a fan of the music more than the visuals.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure if maybe that's because this album was more intimate to mm-hmm, her, mm-hmm. so seeing what she was talking about was helpful.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think that it would throw people off, because she also talks about, she recently did a live,
mm-hmm.
and she talked about how she was trying to figure out the balance between the old and the new,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what this music was. So like even a lot of the visuals, she's like having cowboys, but then they're wearing silver,
right?
Mm-hmm. And like she's showing kind of like a, what are those things that Greek people used to meet in? Like a coliseum.
Yes.
But it's like really futuristic. Mm-hmm. So she's doing both.
Yeah.
And I think that it was meant to be confusing because she herself doesn't know where she stands.
Yeah. Right. It's like she's in that space of past and present.
Exactly.
Or even past and future.
Exactly.
Past and future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I agree with you, Ariam and Sophia. I think also like, I think this current project, when I get home, is like a very coded project. It's like, oh, it's so dreamy to the point where it's almost coded.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we see that in, you know, to a certain degree with her short film. And you see it in even in the way she was promoting the project through Black Planet.
Yeah.
Like, it's very
old school, but it's future.
It's geared to a specific listener.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if everyone doesn't get it, it's not the end of the world.
And it's okay that not everybody gets it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there's people that don't get it but appreciate the body, you know?
And it's still, you know, even though people have been saying, I've been reading a lot of write-ups on it, different, you know, reviews, and a lot of people have said, you know, it feels almost like unpolished or unfinished. But I think even if it is, and it's even if it feels almost like ethereal to a certain degree, I think you could still bump to it. You know, there are some tracks like Bins where you can really like.
She doesn't like leave you hanging. She like wants you to enjoy the music as well. So.
Yeah, stay flow. Same, like there's still that bounce. There's still that Houston, you know,
mm-hmm.
brassiness in it that I feel like. So, well done, Solo.
Exactly.
Well done.
She's our Women Crushing It Wednesday today.
Definitely.
For sure. Hashtag Women Crushing It Wednesday. And you know what? We're going to let it slide that you told us you was going to drop it in the fall.
I know.
And you waited to March, but that's okay. She didn't really pull a whole Frank Ocean on us.
And, yeah, she did.
You know,
disappear.
Yeah.
I also think with Solange, like people didn't know what to do with this album because for one, she was showing her sexuality.
Right. That's
and
true.
And she even said to herself, like, you know, I can't be boxed. I can't be put in a certain place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that when Solange is not going full activist on every song, people don't know what to do.
Right.
Yeah. That's very true.
And, you know, folks are multifaceted. You know, you can't, like you said, box her in.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's at a point in her career where she can afford that. You know, she can do what she wants and people are still going to rock with it.
Exactly.
You know? So
Shout
out to Solo on this project. Mm-hmm. Very well done. But now I feel like it's time to get to know who our special guest is today,
Thanks.
Sophia.
Yes.
And the world of PR, you know, this is something, again, we mentioned earlier, Yodi and I, you know, really don't know a lot about, you know, like, you know, it's an umbrella of like some form of marketing, but, you know, this is the time for, you know, I guess us to learn and for the listeners that may not know about the world of PR. So my first question, very basic, what is public relations? What is PR?
Awesome. Well, thank you for saying out what PR stands for, because a lot of people don't even know that sometimes.
This is why we're having this show. People don't, you know?
Exactly. So that's a perfect question. But public relations, I define it as the professional maintenance of your public reputation. So whether it's a brand's reputation, a person's reputation, it's basically maintaining that.
Yeah.
And so if something is happening, does that brand need to be there? Does a brand need to be interviewed for a feature, et cetera, et cetera? So it's basically the maintenance of how the public perceives you.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's perception.
Perception, yes.
Right. Not like, well, it's not all like, I feel like even for me, I'll be honest, I used to use it interchangeably with like almost like advertising. And
yes.
I guess it's like that relatability and like image.
Exactly.
It's a little bit different.
Exactly. So public relations is definitely relatability and image. It's, I would say it's the intangible thing that connects people to a brand.
Okay.
Or to a person.
Yeah.
Advertising, you know, I can spend X amount of dollars to get X amount of clicks and hope that, you know, this discount code or these clicks will purchase products for me. Whereas public relations may be the certain perfume bottle that I saw my mom use, and so now I want to buy that bottle.
Okay.
So in a sense, public relations has more longevity than advertising,
right?
Because with advertising, the form always changes. Mm-hmm. But with public relations, even if your colors change, your brand messaging changes, how you make people feel doesn't change,
right?
Like what you stand for,
right?
So that I would definitely say that public relations deals with the intangible side, even though it does require strategy. It does require you knowing, okay, what do you want to not be known for? What do you want to be associated with? So you still need that strategy in the sense of like timing, what works now, what will be important for the future. So it's not something you should just do randomly, which a lot of people think is just random, but it's definitely something that may or may not show you immediate results the way advertising will.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the legacy of a brand.
Exactly.
Yeah, being more so concerned about that.
Exactly.
So then there's more pressure.
Yes.
Yes, I'm sure.
There's more pressure because advertising is more scientific. And so if I put in $50 into something and it doesn't work, then we know next time to not do it or do $100. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas with PR, maybe if I work with this magazine, it helped me to make sales. But when I worked with this influencer, it didn't, or vice versa. And also depending on the client, different things stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in, obviously, like Ariam said, PR is such a huge space. And then there's like sectors in this world. What's your main focus? Like what kind of clients do you kind of see yourself working with or work with now in this world?
Yeah. So I focus on brands by people of color. Okay. That is like my particular focus. And I focus on the lifestyle and beauty spaces. I have interest to get into possibly like fashion and music eventually. But I know that at the core of it, if I do venture into that, it will be by people of color.
Okay.
So that's how I've been able to kind of keep my niche.
Okay.
I studied Africana Studies at University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Hey.
I had to spell it out. So
let them know.
Yes. So when I was there, it really resonated with me, the many great ideas that people of color have had, but don't always have the tools to amplify that message.
Right.
And so even though I didn't always know back then I wanted to be a publicist, I just decided like, okay, I know this is the community I want to serve.
Okay.
And so when I finally did venture into PR, I went that route. First by like interning for people of color that are publicists, and then like getting my own clients and now working for myself.
So did you know Sophia like a little bit more about being a publicist or being PR before you decided like maybe I should try this out? Or is this something that like, oh, this might make sense, you know, these are things that I am interested in, maybe I should try it? Because some people they know immediately what they want to do, and then sometimes it comes by chance. How did that kind of come about for you?
So I didn't know that I wanted to be a publicist per se. For me, what happened was I was trying to pursue a career in editorial work. So I wanted to be an editor at Vogue or a beauty publication, Allure, things like that.
Okay.
And so when I went to New York for grad school, for journalism school. And I was currently working with a brand here before I went that was wanting to hire a publicist. And when they couldn't hire that publicist anymore, I was kind of telling myself, okay, well, when I get to New York, I want to experiment with different things. So I reached out to her to see if I can get an internship.
Okay.
And she had told me how like the position was filled, etc. But then when I got to New York, she wrote me like, hi, like this is the woman you I reached out to. I'm looking for an intern now. Are you interested? And at the time, because I was in journalism school and I was focused on being an editor, I wasn't sure like how it would fold. But I was like, OK, like let me just do this. I'm in New York. It's going to help me meet people. So that's when I started to get into PR just by working underneath that firm. And to my surprise, it really encompassed all the things that I enjoyed doing.
Okay.
But I just never knew it existed. Like, people don't really talk about it.
Right.
And so that was like how I was exposed to it. At the time, I was also interning for Man Repeller. Mm-hmm. They're a fashion blogs website. And when I was at Man Repeller, I was focusing a lot on like coming up with content ideas, coming up with social media concepts, coming up with who we should work with, what works for the brand. And so I realized that I was doing PR already and just without not knowing what it was called. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I love hearing stories like this, Sophia, because that organic, almost like you, when you find yourself like listening to your calling without it really feeling forced
or looking for it,
that's the best.
Exactly.
So I'm happy that it happened that way for you, because hearing you talk about it, you seem really passionate about it.
Thanks.
And it's interesting that you shared earlier that you kind of make your focus, at least with your clients, like lifestyle and beauty. And I'm sure this may happen a lot when you share with other people like what your client focus is. When you do say that you work in that beauty world, for instance, I can only imagine that people might really start like piquing interest, and they'll might romanticize the idea of working in the beauty world. What's one misconception about working for PR in that world, like that you may see commonly? Like, what's one common misconception, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest misconception is a brand or a client of mine thinking that their idea is new.
Okay.
So, or even just consumers thinking that it's new. For example, I'll use something that's like more popular. When Fenty came out with all of the shades, people were like, oh my gosh, it's Rihanna, it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And no shade to Rihanna, love Riri, but the truth is that brands like Bobbi Brown already had those many shades, and MAC already had those many shades. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that because of things like social media and perfect timing on the part of Rihanna's team, they were able to amplify the message quicker to more amount of people. That made it exciting.
Yeah, and also versus, like, who she is.
Exactly, yeah, who she is.
For sure.
Versus like a Bobbi Brown who, you know, you needed a certain, back in the day, like in the 90s when she released it, you needed a certain income to purchase it. MAC, same thing. MAC, people know more in like the fashion modeling world.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only difference between what Rihanna did and what those brands have done in the past was just access to market.
Right.
Because nowadays in our generation, we have that quicker access.
Right.
Whereas before, those brands have to work with celebrities. They have to work on red carpet events, and then hopefully everyday consumers want to purchase it.
Right.
So I think the biggest misconception a lot of our like millennial consumers have, or even some clients I've encountered have, is that their idea is so new.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what's true is that there are better and quicker ways to amplify messaging nowadays.
Yeah.
But there is definitely no new thing under the sun. Mm-hmm. You know, like from Glossier to like all of these brands have already existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of like the packaging and them being willing to see, okay, brands came before me, and now what can I do better than what they did?
Because
a lot of times I'll meet clients that, you know, think their idea is super revolutionary, and maybe one part of it is revolutionary, but the truth is that you're having to get through many streams of noise because that idea has already been presented in about 5 different ways. And so then my job becomes, okay, if that idea has been presented as a box, how do I make it a 3D box? Because it's still a box if it's a box, but how do I change what you've seen? And so I would definitely say that can be difficult. Just people understanding that you do have to take time and be empathetic with customers and consumers to ask yourself, what do they really want?
Do you ever feel like when... Because that's a big challenge, because that's your job. It's like, how do you cater to someone's idea because they've hired you to perform a certain role? But realistically, you're like, I don't know if this will stand out or if this will be right for this brand or this, I guess, image or whatever the case may be. So are there any other challenges that you've personally faced, like as a like in your role? Because I know it's like,
I definitely face a challenge every week, every day to actually pitch things.
Ooh,
So right now, I think people are starting to understand it more, and some of my clients are understanding it more over time. But the truth is that old school get you in a magazine and you made it, it's gone. And so a lot of times you're having to be more innovative with internal PR strategies that will help you stand out. So maybe you, the brand, you have a thriving blog, or you have a podcast, or you're giving out cotton candy in the park. I saw a brand in New York do that. It was really cool. So I think that that is the future of PR. But a lot of times people are caught up in PR only being press or only being media.
Right.
And so a challenge that I often face is explaining to my client that, hey, this pop-up tour you want to do could possibly earn you more customer loyalty than a feature in Vogue.
Right. Okay.
And that's very difficult to change people's minds about, because
does that sometimes become like a generational misunderstanding?
Definitely.
Because you're like, I'm here like with the now, which is, you know, get the social media campaigns and doing things that are like a little bit unconventional.
Exactly. Like the experimental things. Like,
and like selling that idea.
Exactly. Oh, it's like, yeah, we have social media, but we need to have something that makes people want to post. So let's do an event too.
Right.
Things like that. So it definitely gets difficult to have to explain that. And I found that as my clients, if they're new, as they start to trust me, they understand. Mm-hmm. And then we end up doing like those suggestions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes other clients, it takes them a little bit longer to understand that, okay, a magazine feature is not the only thing that public relations has to do with.
Okay.
You even sponsoring, I don't know, someone's podcast could be public relations. Mm-hmm. You know, they're hearing your name on a certain particular podcast, things like that.
So hearing it kind of transcend different
scopes.
Like, scopes.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we live in a time right now where we're exposed to a lot of brands, right? Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, in the advent of social media, there's a lot of emerging brands that are, you know, trying to get their place or make their mark. What do you think is one mistake that a lot of emerging brands might make that are trying, or when trying to, you know, create brand awareness? Like, what do you think is one mistake that they may make when trying to create some sort of attention towards their like ideas or their product that you would try to make them shy away from?
I think a mistake that they make is trying to do what everyone else is doing.
Mm. Right.
And so without taking the time to really see what your audience is like, you can often miss the mark in that way. And I also think they make a mistake by not being niche or homegrown first.
Okay.
So, for example, someone might want to open a beauty store, let's say in DC. But instead of focusing on outlets or publications in DC, they're really excited about like getting into New York places and things like that. But because they're not a digital store, your feature in New York doesn't really help as much as it would if you kind of like buckled down and did more things locally, or like appearances, things like that.
Right.
So even though like those New York publications would be really helpful, and they do work because, you know, they're like national publications.
Right.
The truth is that you should more so ask yourself, okay, who am I servicing?
Okay.
Where are they paying attention to, and what are they doing? So I think that taking the time to actually ask yourself, the customers that I want, or the customers I currently have, what do they care about? What are they interacting with?
Right.
Like sometimes people make the mistake of, you know, it's the Grammys, so let me just post Grammy photos.
Right.
But your followers could care less about that.
Catering to like catering, your audience.
Exactly.
Key.
Catering to your audience is key. So
you have to do a lot of research.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. A lot of research and a lot of like market research. Right. Like, okay, what's happening? What's coming up?
Right.
You know, like maybe you realize that your followers could care less about the Oscars. So maybe how do you come up with like a funny hashtag that gets them to engage with you?
Right.
And things like that. Yeah. Or even,
because a lot of the times, even with like influencer marketing, for instance, you know, the whole concept, you know, is so that the experience can be mutually beneficial for the influencer and the brand. But a lot of the times, a lot of brands, I mean, for the most part, they fall in line with partnering themselves with people that fall in line with their own identity, their brand identity. But sometimes people might just partner with influencers just for the sake of it. So I guess
overwhelming.
It could be overwhelming at times.
And then it's like certain influencers, you know, are always posting how great every single product is.
Yeah.
And it's not realistic. Like, after a while, you know, followers or consumers become numb to that. And even just like,
and they're like, oh my God, there's an ad.
Exactly.
We can read it, even if they're trying to make it like organic. So you really like, you have to cater to like a very smart audience.
Exactly.
You can't assume
that. Everyone is a conscious consumer.
And like kind of thinking outside the box, like, you know, I'll just use The Line, for example. On The Line, you know, coming to DC, they've done a great job with incorporating full service radio, because literally every single show and every single person that's going to be in this particular room mm-hmm. is going to mention the line.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, for me, for example, I didn't even know that the line existed until mm-hmm. finding out about Full Service Radio.
Right.
Okay. So that's yeah. public relations, yeah. right? Like, yeah. no one paid oh. them to tell me that.
Right.
But
right.
it's like, it's in my head.
Yeah. Look at us. We're PR right here.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
We did some PR already. We didn't even know.
Exactly. Yeah. So then it's like, the line receives this cred,
yeah.
you know, or credit, for lack of a better term, of being like a cultural haven.
Right.
Because, like, this is a part of DC culture now. Like, people mm-hmm. are familiar with Full Service Radio. They're mm-hmm. familiar that it's in here. And I've also seen other hotels kind of copy the concept.
Mm.
So okay. it's definitely a PR strategy.
For sure.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to you just overall. When it comes to, like we talked about this interview, PR and clientele, you know, they always say it's important to have a strong team, whether, you know, you're a brand or if you have a product or even if you're like a musician or artist. They always say it's important to have like a good team behind you. What do you think must exist between the publicist and client relationship to be deemed as a good team?
A good team?
Yeah.
So I definitely think that the publicist has to either be a great researcher or have an assistant that's a great researcher.
Okay.
Depending on your, you know, how big the publicist is, they'll probably have multiple employees.
Mm-hmm.
But that has to exist in terms of like what the publicist offers.
Mm-hmm.
Because market research is everything in my industry. Like, if I miss the fact that Coachella is on the 19th and this client I'm working with is releasing a tropical line of lip balms, that's a big L.
Right.
Because I could have taken advantage of that, you know, to have it sent to VIPs or something.
Right.
But the truth is that when you're doing the work, you can't always do the research.
Right.
So either you drive yourself crazy and do both,
mm-hmm.
or you hire people to help you with it.
Yeah.
And some things just come naturally, like you're aware of things.
Right.
But between like the publicist and the client, the two of them, is really important to be honest about goals,
right,
and be honest about what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
So something that I had to learn on earlier on, just by observation and making mistakes, was that oftentimes you will try to do something because of what you think is great for a brand, but the client is not concerned with that right now.
Right.
So
their brand.
Exactly.
You're hired to elevate them.
Them. Yeah.
So finding the balance.
Exactly.
Sure.
So you might think that, oh, you know, let me get you on this podcast. And the client is like, well, I really want to do pop-up stores right now. So the podcast is great, but if you don't get them like the 10 pop-up stores they want to be in, they could care less about the podcast.
Right.
And that's how they judge you. But some people think that, oh, well, I got you in Vogue. And for them, it's like, well, you didn't get me at, I don't know, Union Market. So because okay. that was their
okay.
goal.
Okay.
So it's one of those things where you have to really listen to what the client wants.
Okay.
Because as a publicist, we also have our own milestones and our own goals. Like, oh, you know, I want to cover a feature mm-hmm. of my client, or I want them to like open that store or that hotel or whatever the case may be. But for them, it's like, hey, you know, this was what I hired you for.
Right.
I mean, even among my clients now, they all hire me for different things that are all still underneath public relations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have some clients that are like, I just need press.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they want from me. They're going to have their own people doing events, their own people doing other things. I have other clients where it's like, I want events and programming.
Okay.
And then I have other clients that it's more so, I don't know what I want. Let me give you my business goals and you tell me what I want.
Right.
Okay.
So having to like balance that is really important.
So you wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
But you must enjoy it. You have to enjoy it.
I love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like this is, you know, where you need to be, like, you know, with SMT, PR, like, is this for you? You feel like this
definitely.
Is your role?
I think that I definitely want to experiment and possibly have, like, my own brand one day.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly like in the fashion space.
Okay.
I really want that.
Well, you are stylish, girl.
Thank you.
I see you.
Thank
we've
you
got bell sleeves. For I those know. Who can't see, we've got
visuals.
Bell sleeves, a leather vest,
bell sleeves,
knee-high boots. Okay.
We're giving you audio
just a visual
fashion.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, because I really love like experience, and so I would love to have some sort of storefront.
Right.
I don't know if maybe like my storefront would have all of my clients. I don't know. Maybe that's like an innovative secret I'm putting out there too soon.
Yes.
Somebody might steal it.
Speak it into existence for yourself. Okay?
Exactly. Yes.
And if they hear it, who cares if they hear it? Because you know how to market it better. You're like, you just have to take your, what you mentioned earlier, it's the way you execute things. And I'm pretty sure you know how to do it.
Yes.
You
know?
Yes,
learning all the time.
So what piece of advice would you give someone that wants to enter this world of marketing?
Yes, I would give them the advice of do the work. So so many times our generation, because we saw other generations not get, receive credit for great work that they did, we get hung up in building our portfolio without actually doing the work. Okay. And so it's like you get halfway done and you want to post it on social, or you want to do is, you know, you just want all of this cred. But I definitely somebody that feels like, you know, put your nose deep into your work, focus. Like if you have to like get off the internet for some time, if you have to read more, if you have to, you know, take courses, whatever the case may be, I think actually tangibly doing the work is more important than saying you can do it. And so that's definitely a piece of advice I would give. And I also would give the advice not necessarily to study the industry of communications and public relations, but to actually do it.
Okay.
I think that if you study while you're doing it, it's perfect.
Okay.
I think that if you just tell yourself, I'm going to go to school and then get a job in it, and you've never done an internship, you've never even worked at like your mom or uncle's or somebody's store to like learn customers and behaviors and habits, it's not going to work. Like you're better off working in retail and going to community college for a PR career than getting a degree at like NYU, because if you never done the work,
right,
a lot of brands or a lot of PR firms are not interested.
Oh my God, they don't know you can execute it. This is like the generation of, you know, related experience, work experience.
Exactly.
Like you literally don't just need a degree. Like you need to like show them what you can offer.
Exactly.
And a lot of major corporations like Google are even saying that like, well, we can equate work-related experience over a degree.
Exactly. Like, we'll train you.
Right. Like, right, that is so real. Right. So don't be discouraged out there. You know, Sophia, she gave us a well-rounded, you know, explanation of what public relations is and what it entails. And if you have interest in it, definitely, you know, go for it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And, like, you can still, not saying you shouldn't go to school, right? There's different avenues.
Right.
But I'm just saying that regardless of where you are, always trying to be hands-on with things. You know, if you see your friends are having some really like amazing functions and things like that, offer to do the public relations for them. You know, do research on how to get people interested in a brand,
right?
How to sell tickets, like creative ways to do things. And that will always be helpful.
Okay.
Sophia, thank you for dropping some knowledge today.
Thank you.
Yo, mental notes this entire episode.
Yes.
I learned so much. And for those who are interested in your work or maybe want to collaborate with you, how can people find you?
Sure. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at SMTPR. And so that's S like Sally, M like Mary, T like Thompson, P like people, and R like red.
Okay. Yes. I love that. You know, cause sometimes we have to spell out our this soul too, which we do every week anyway. But, you know, I definitely appreciate the spelling out, the way you did that.
And it's just my initials. So it's Sophia Mami Thompson, PR.
See, play on that for sure.
Exactly.
Yes, very nice.
Sophia,
very nice.
Thank you so much for joining us on this soul radio.
Thank you.
It was so great speaking with you tonight. And for those who just listened, if you like what you heard, you can keep up with your girls on Twitter and Instagram as well at DEUXSOL. And you can catch us next week at 6:30 talking music, pop culture, and everything under the sun. Till next time, guys. Peace.
You're tuned into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.